I can remember 8 years ago arriving in Indianapolis for the first time in my moving truck. And I had just graduated from the seminary in Greenville, South Carolina, and was assigned to do my six-month internship in the Indianapolis church. And we rented a small one-bedroom apartment on German Church Road. And I remember Pastor Bannister came over and asked if we could eat anything for dinner. And I remember him bringing us a Pizza Hut pizza. You remember that? For dinner. And I always associate things with food, so it's a bad habit here. But I can remember that day as if it happened yesterday. But much has changed since then. 8 years have passed away, and we are now blessed with two children, Zachary and Molly. They will always be Hoosiers, and Indianapolis will always be their home in a special way. We've met many wonderful people here and have established long and lasting friendships. And praise the Lord for His goodness and grace to my family. And now we're about to embark on a trip of a lifetime to Prince George, British Columbia, and take up the pastorate to preach the gospel. And as I considered a farewell message today, my thoughts were drawn to a specific chapter in Philippians chapter 4, three verses in particular that the Lord impressed upon my heart from this chapter. I'd like to just read these verses to you. This could really be entitled, this message, Paul's Farewell to the Philippians. And the verses that I want to read are verses 11, 13, and 19. Verse 11, I read in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And then verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, words regarding the writings of the Apostle Paul. And in that verse we read, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. They are never more weighty and more powerful than in their conclusion. The Apostle Paul often ends his letters with statements that are short and packed with theology and practical application. And this is what I want to consider today with you, just very briefly, these three parting words from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, these three texts, these three verses that we've read this afternoon. The first verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, this verse is really the key to a great Christian life. And what is the secret to contentment? Contentment. It comes from within and not from without. Contentment does not depend on circumstances or feelings or situations. No, contentment is enjoying what Christ has given to us as His blood-bought people. It is enjoying Christ now, present tense, to enjoy that fullness, that blessing that Christ is to His people. That's what true contentment is. Contentment in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, we read, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, discontentment is the opposite. It is enjoying what you don't have. The devil stops us and frustrates us from enjoying what Christ has given us by making us want something else. And we see this so powerfully illustrated in the Garden of Eden when Eve was tempted by the serpent. And the devil came to her and tempted her to want and or desire that which she didn't have, and she lusted after that which was forbidden by the Lord, and she fell into sin and led her husband as well down that road of sin. Now, you could say, in a real sense, that contentment is a way of looking at life. It's a perspective. It's a worldview. The Puritans referred to this as providence. The word providence comes from two words, pro, meaning before, and video, meaning to see before. Life is a series of appointments and arrangements. It is not accidents. Contentment comes from this way of looking at life. That is why it is called providence, seeing, trusting, believing before that God has arranged all things, including our disappointments, can actually lead to contentment and not disillusionment. I like what one person observes regarding true contentment. He says, true contentment is a thing as active as agriculture. It is the power of getting out of any situation all that there is in it. It is arduous and it is rare. And in his book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, the Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs says that the word rendered content here has great elegance and fullness of meaning in the original. In the strict sense, it is only attributed to God, who has styled himself God all-sufficient, and that he rests fully satisfied in and with himself alone. But he's pleased freely to communicate his fullness to the creature so that from God in Christ the saints receive grace for grace. As a result, there is in them the same grace that is in Christ according to their measure. In this sense, Paul says, I have a self-sufficiency, which is what the word means. The Bible teaches that bad things can and do happen to God's people. When disappointments happen in our life, when discouragements come, that should teach us to learn this important discipline of contentment. It is not good at times to go through these unpleasant trees, to go through these disappointments, but the Lord Jesus Christ has allowed our disappointments, our discouragements, to teach us contentment, to teach us to trust and depend on the Lord. Now, when you go through these disappointments and discouragements, you may not be able to see at the time what the Lord is doing, but contentment arises in believing in God's providence, that He has arranged all these things for our good, the good things and the bad things. And that's why Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I've learned to be content. Now, there's certain things that you can't learn from books, that you just have to learn from experience, things that you have to go through. And one of these things is the experience of learning to be content, learning to trust in the Lord when things go wrong, when things disappoint, when things frustrate us, when things go astray and we're down and discouraged. We have that perspective, that providence, that those things which have happened to us has been arranged by the Lord. He has assigned these things to work in us and to teach us to trust in Him. What a different perspective that is when you look at the world, how they perceive life and how they perceive when bad things happen. The Christian can go through tremendous trials, tremendous upheavals in life, and still experience and learn contentment in the Lord. Experience, there's no substitute for it. I remember this week, my father-in-law and Zachary and I were in the car, and Zachary asked his granddad why 10-year-olds can't drive cars. And Zachary was serious. He wanted to drive a car, and he thought 10 years old would be that age for him to drive a car. Can you imagine Zachary on the road on Brookville on 465 in a car? And I remember my father-in-law saying to Zachary, Well, the reason why you can't drive a car at age 10 is because you don't have the experience. Your eye and hand coordination hasn't developed enough. You need to practice. You need to continue to work at it. He wasn't ready. And so often we, as Christians, we have to go through experiences. We have to go through things in our life to teach us to be content in the Lord. Because it's so easy for us, brethren, to get our eyes off of the Lord and to become discontented. The circumstances come in. Unexpected things happen. Things fall through that we were planning to do. What's your perspective? Is your perspective providence, that God in His wisdom and in His mercy has ordained, has arranged these things to teach me to confide and to trust in Him and to rely on His strength? This is what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Philippians 4, verse 11. Contentment is something we have to learn and something that we have to work at. It's a process. We just can't snap our fingers and presto, we have contentment. Now just read 2 Corinthians 11 and read all the calamities that the Apostle Paul had to experience, had to go through. And he learned from those calamities, from those difficulties and trials, contentment in the Lord. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult, but he learned these things. And so too, I don't know your situation today. You might be going through trials and difficulties and upheavals. Remember to be content in the Lord. Remember the perspective of providence, that God has arranged these things for our good, to strengthen us and to encourage us to trust in Him more. There was a story of a medieval king who had some psychological problems. His physician said to him, "Go out into your realm and find a man that is contented and sleep in his shirt. Get his shirt and sleep in it, and it will do wonders for you." Well, the medieval king sent out his men and said, "I authorize you to pay whatever you like and purchase this shirt of a contented man." His messengers went forth for a long time, but eventually they came back. And the king said, "Where's the shirt? Give me the shirt." "Oh," they said, "we haven't got the shirt." "You haven't gotten the shirt," the king said. "In my realm there is not a contented man?" "Well, yes, there is one. We found one contented man." The king snapped, "Why didn't you buy his shirt?" They said, "Your Majesty, the contented man did not have a shirt. He was poor and needy and didn't have a shirt, but he was the happiest man in all the realm." See, contentment is not tied to circumstances. It is a contentment in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And that's an important lesson for me as I'm about to embark to Prince George. I have to be a contented man in the Lord. I can't allow circumstances and trials and difficulties to derail me and to take my eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Apostle Paul says that when I am weak, then I am strong. The Lord must be my contentment. He must be my source of power and strength as I go forth to preach in His name. And perhaps you are here today and you need to be reminded afresh of contentment. Maybe you're discontented with some things in your life, that things have gone wrong. I would encourage you today, brethren, to get your eyes back again on the Lord Jesus Christ afresh and enjoy that contentment that only comes from knowing the Lord. Well, notice the second verse that I like to consider. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, when you read that verse, it seems a bit strange that for a man present to say that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you can do all things, the Apostle Paul, why don't you get yourself out of prison? Philippians is a prison epistle. And if you can do all things, why can't you release yourself from prison? How did you get in prison to begin with if you can do all things? Paul, if you can do all things, then why are you at the mercy of the Roman soldiers? What's he saying here when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? When Paul says, I can do all things, this is the same man who had a thorn in the flesh. Remember that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Apostle Paul has this thorn in the flesh, and scholars are not really sure what that thorn in the flesh was. Many speculate that it was his eyesight. But three times the Apostle Paul goes to the Lord and pleads to remove this thorn in the flesh. He begs the Lord and he implores the Lord. The Lord says no all three times. He gets the message because he doesn't pray the fourth time. It took the Apostle Paul three times to pray, and then after the third time he realized that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't pray the fourth time. He didn't pray the fifth time. He got it after the third time that Christ was not going to remove that thorn in the flesh, and that he was going to have to live with it, and that the grace that would be given the Apostle Paul would be sufficient. When Paul is weak, when we are weak in ourselves, then we are strong in the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I can't do anything, then Christ makes me strong. But what exactly is Paul saying here when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? Well, Paul is saying, I can do all things that Christ commissions me to do and asks me to do. Nothing that God appoints me to do is impossible for me to do. I can do that because the Lord has commanded me to do it. The Lord has asked me to do it. The Lord has willed me to do it. And He will empower and enable me to do it. I can do all things through Christ. See, Paul himself felt his impotency. He felt his weakness. He felt his unworthiness and his insufficiency. He felt at times in the ministry that he couldn't go on anymore, that he couldn't go one more day in the ministry. And yet the Lord would tell him, yes, you can go, because my grace is sufficient. In and of himself, the Apostle Paul would have quit. But Christ came to the Apostle Paul. And because Christ was working in his heart, because Christ was encouraging him, that last day that he thought was the end of his ministry, he was able to minister for another year, another 2 years. Because the Lord was with him. The Lord was giving him that strength to do what he's called to do. And that's how I feel going to Prince George. I can do the ministry that the Lord has called me to do, because He's promised to give me the grace to do it. He's promised to be with me. He's promised to use me. God is not in the business of mocking His people. God is not in the business of telling them to go somewhere and then just let them go to their own devices. No, the Lord has promised that we can do all things through Christ. Those who have a commission, those who have a calling, those who have been willed by God will be empowered and enabled to do it by His grace and by His Spirit. This is summarized in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 4 and 7. We read, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, what the Lord is teaching us as His people is that your strength is in me. So therefore, we need to stay close to Christ. We need to be in constant communion with the Lord. We need to constantly know His mind and His will in our lives. I can do all things which Christ has commissioned me to do. And you can do all things which Christ has commissioned you and commanded you to do in His power and in His strength. And that's so encouraging for a man who's going into the ministry, that It is not up to me. It's not in my strength or in the flesh that I am to carry out this will and this work, but it's the work of the Lord. It's His work. It's His church. It's His people. And I can do it by His grace and through Him. What a wonderful text for us to meditate upon. Those things which are impossible with man are possible with the Lord. And it's because of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul looks at his final farewell in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The key word here is need. How we confuse our need with our wants, don't we? Often we don't know what our needs are. We think we do, but at times we don't. We go to the Lord and we say, I need this and I need that in prayer. The Lord says, oh, no, you don't. And I'll prove to you that you don't need that. I'll prove to you that my strength is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. In fact, isn't that what God said to Paul when He said, I'm not removing your thorn in the flesh? He said to the Apostle Paul, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to care for you. And I'm going to use you even despite this element in your life. And we may have these difficulties, these struggles, these things in our life. Don't let that get in the way of your service for the Lord. The Lord is able to provide and supply all your need according to His riches and glory by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's necessary is the strength of the Lord. What we need is the power of God in our life. God in Christ is saying, you are to use my strength. You are to use my power to live. That is necessary for the child of God. What love and mercy and compassion the Lord shows to His people, that He would communicate this to us, that He would give this strength, this power to us, when we face such difficulties and challenges in our life. Now this verse that we've read, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, is not a formula for anyone getting out of financial difficulty. And I know in my experience and in the past, I've heard people use this to say to the Lord that, Lord, I'm in a financial bind, I'm in a financial difficulty, and they almost use it like it's some kind of formula to deliver them from their financial woes. No, this is not a formula for anyone getting out of financial difficulty. This is a promise to Christians. This is a promise to the Lord's people, specifically to Christians in the city of Philippi. In what capacity, in what state was this promise made to them? It was made to Christians who had given to the Lord. This whole letter of the Philippians actually is a letter of thanks from Paul to the Philippians for supplying his need, for giving a monetary gift to him. He makes reference in Philippians 4, verse 15. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So this is a thank you letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippians because of their giving financially. And Paul is saying in verse 19, because you gave to me, God will provide for you. No one can give like the Lord. We talk about giving. Sometimes we hear of these philanthropists, those who give to charities and organizations, but no one can give like the Lord. No one can give like the Lord. We give because we have received from the Lord. And what we do is when we give, we really are returning a portion to the Lord. We're just giving back what the Lord has given to us. He's the owner. And in a sense, He's just given us this responsibility of stewardship. And in return, He desires that we give back a portion of what we've received to the work of the Lord. We return a portion to the Lord. But think about who God gives to. God gives to those who are rebels. God gives to those who are sinners. God gives to those who are undeserving, who are His enemies. When we give, we usually want to give for a good cause. We think of a worthy cause. But when God gives, think about who He's giving it to. He's giving grace, He's giving blessing to sinners. And what mercy, what compassion, what love we see in the giving of the Lord to sinners, to those who are undeserving of His blessing. We read in Romans chapter 5, let me turn to that passage, Romans 5 verses 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're here today and you say that's what I want. I want to be blessed of the Lord. I want the Lord's blessing in my life. I want to be the recipient of God's giving. God's a giver. God wants to give. God loves to give His grace to sinners. Well, how do I get this blessing in my life? How do I receive the grace that is offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ? You receive this grace, you receive this blessing by giving Christ your heart. By giving Christ your heart. By turning from your sins, from turning from that which would displease the Lord, and turning to the Lord, and you will receive the blessing of God. You will receive salvation. You will receive forgiveness of sins. You will receive everlasting life. Oh, that you are here today without the blessing of God, I'd urge you to seek the Lord, to ask Him to give you the blessing, to give you that heart for Christ. And you know deep down in your heart if your heart is for Christ or it isn't. You know deep down if you're following the Lord. If you need to repent of your sin, if you need to confess your sin, even this afternoon, confess your sin, own up to it. Don't hide from God. Don't try to cover up your sin. But come to the Lord just as you are. And ask the Lord, Lord, I want You to bless me. I want You to save me. I want You to work in my heart so that I love You rather than the world. The Lord will do it. The Lord will provide because He's a merciful and gracious God. If you notice in Philippians 4, the last verse of chapter 4, how he ends the epistle. He ends with the word amen. When you hear the word amen, often you hear it's usually associated with the end of a prayer or end of a message. And too often we just kind of blow through that word and not really understand the true import of this word amen. When Paul uses this word amen, he's concluding his book, but it means much more than just a conclusion. It means sincerely. It means true. It means that Paul, what he's written, what he's communicated to the people in Philippi, is to be embraced. It's to be received. It's to be not ignored, not to be just taken as someone's opinion, but this is to be received as the very Word of God and the will of God in your life. And he chooses this word very deliberately and very, very willingly because he wants to convey to his hearers that this is true, this is sincere, and this is what you need to do. You need to cast yourself before the Lord and trust in Him. So these three verses in Philippians really is Paul's farewell to the Philippians. And these are the words that the Lord has laid on my heart as my farewell to the brethren here in Indianapolis. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and by my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, that the Lord might burn his word into our hearts, and that he might truly give us a ministry and a work for him that will redound to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us all pray.